Queen.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
live! Yeah, okay. You got your mind. What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you as ever by the Amp Radio Network. My name is Proteus. Got that right out of the way at the top. We are here to do hashtag smack my picks up for hashtag UFC 242 Khabib versus Poirier, which will take place September 7th, 2019 at the arena, original name, Yas Island in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to do a little bit of Amp Radio Rewind. Of course, history was made last weekend. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we said that on this show. Two of the three hosts on this show said history was going to be made at UFC Fight Night 157. So we'll cover all of that information. We're also going to cover a little bit of Bellator action. We've got some exciting news about that as well. So we are going to cover the main event for Bellator 226. Stay tuned to this channel for more Bellator coverage in the upcoming few days. Unfortunately, I do not believe, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have enough time to cover the featherweight tournament. Maybe we'll get caught up on that on the next show or down the road at some point, because there are four featherweight tournament fights on this particular fight card, so very exciting. But I digress. Let's get to the important information of this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pam is not joining us. Of course, if you are paying attention at all to the news in the mainstream, there is a fairly serious hurricane. As last year, you know, Pam was dealing with a hurricane at this time of year as well, bearing down on the United States of America. And Pam is on lockdown right now, hurricane lockdown. So, shout out to Pammy. I did actually, DJ Tony, get Pam's picks last week after we did the show. Unfortunately, she had a big goose egg on those picks. Let's get into it, though, ladies and gentlemen. And bring the host in. You just heard him laughing. It's the big boss man himself. It's Tony time, bitches.
Let's do it.
Hey, DJ!
Tony!
Coming at you!
We're excited to be here once again, unfortunately, minus Pam. So we hope that everyone that's going through that, suffering through the hurricane, hopefully they'll be okay. Obviously, thoughts and prayers go out to the people in Odessa. So we want to make sure everyone's safe.
Well, we'll talk about Odessa a little bit later. But as I mentioned, let's go ahead and get into this. It's, you know, we're down a woman today. It is just three of the four of the fighting four. So let's go and get to it. The star of the show. We go deep to the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. It's a conspiracy, I tell you, man. Tony doesn't get his music, so he has to chop me down. It's a conspiracy, man. Hey, big shout out to Pam. I hope everything is okay up there on the Carolinas. Hunker down, you know, make sure you're safe. And another big shout out to Joe Manzanales, a.k.a. Joe from Odessa. He made the news this weekend for all the wrong and all the right reasons. You know, guys, that there was a mass shooting in Odessa, Texas. And he was part of that shooting, unwillingly, of course. He was driving his truck from work when the psycho, you know, ran a red light and shot directly at his truck. The bullet went through Joe's windshield, through the top of the dashboard, and it stopped right above the speedometer. So, like I said, 1 second earlier or 1 inch higher, and Joe wouldn't be here with us. But, well, they took pictures of the damage that the bullet caused, and they posted on Facebook. 15 minutes later, he was being interviewed by freaking CNN about the incident. So big shout-out to Joe. I talked to him that night. You know, he's fine. He was a little bit shaken up, but, you know, thanking all the freaking pantheon of gods that he's to thank. So he didn't forget anybody. He went away from Jesus to Buddha just to cover all his bases, because he's here with us. He's safe. And nothing happened to him. And sadly, other people were not as lucky as he was. So, Joe, somebody's looking out for you. I'm happy that you're okay. And now let's talk some MMA, brother.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get into this card. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music. So as I mentioned at the top, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 242, and of course last week I said, this is a big one, Marco, and it is indeed a big card. Glad to have it back, of course. The main card, I believe, starts, Marco, at 2 p.m. Eastern time, so adjust your clocks accordingly, or, catch up on ESPN Plus later on. But we go to the main event. And in the main event, we have a unification title match in the lightweight division. Of course, as I mentioned at the top, Khabib, as we know him on this show, Nurmi, versus Dustin the Diamond Poirier. DJ Tony, I'm just going to give the listeners the updated odds on this one. Actually, you have the correct updated odds on this particular fight. Nurmi coming at us at a minus 450. Dustin Poirier coming back at us at a plus 360. DJ Tony, I'm going to start with you, man. I know on this show I have professed the fact that I am very, very happy with Dustin Poirier getting the chance, getting this interim title belt, and, of course, being able to fight for the title against Nurmi. But let's throw to you and tell us what you think, because I remember back in the day, you said, I'm not too sure how much Dustin Poirier has improved. So I know you're eating crow right now, but let's throw to you.
You know, Proteus, you're 100% right. I did not think that Dustin Poirier had really made that much of a change until I saw, of course, no disrespect, his beautiful wife. Good Lord. Shout out to Jolie Poirier. We love Jolie Poirier.
Cue the music.
You know, this is a – indeed, but I won't because I have too much respect for Dustin. Although I do not call him DP. I'll let you guys sit on that one for a bit. All right, I'll give myself crickets on that one.
Nasty mofo. Nasty mofo.
I know. You know what? I've misbehaved, Marco. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing, though, you guys. I think Khabib, or as I love the way Proteus said it because he actually pronounced Khabib. It the right way. Khabib. I love the way that Khabib, right? As Joey Diaz would say.
Joey
shout
Diaz,
out to
yes,
Joe
sir.
From Odessa. And shout out to Joe from H-Town. Shout out to Joe from H-Town. All the Joes, including Joe Hogan and Joe Mama, too. So shout out to Joe Mama. Listen, nothing crickets. Listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you. If I was to give a top five, and I know Marco's going to kill me on this one, but I'm just being honest. If I was to give a top five of the lightweight division right now for the UFC, pretty sure I wouldn't put Dustin Poirier. Better yet, I don't know if I'd put him in the top 10, even though he is the interim champion. Although, to be fair, Marco's been in interim champion. I've been. Proteus is still in Canada under several promotions.
Right.
Nothing. All right. But I just look at the work that Dustin Glenn Poirier has done, you guys. How do you, like, say he beat Max Holloway? He beat Eddie Alvarez, beat Justin Gaethje, Anthony Showtime Pettis. Maybe not the same Anthony Showtime Pettis we remember, but still did it, right? These aren't the days where he was losing to Cub Swanson and McGregor and Michael Johnson. But I just can't go there, you guys. I know Dustin Poirier literally has nothing to lose, and everything says that he should win, with the exception of one thing. Khabib is fighting in front of his dad, you guys. And the last few times that he's fought, he hasn't been in front of his father and has gone a little from the game plan. I think he's actually going to stick with the game plan. I'm picking Khabib in a finish, you guys, which he doesn't do very often unless the guy's name is McGregor. No offense to Conor. I'm picking Khabib, guys, third round submission over a very, very tough and professional Dustin Poirier.
All right, Marco, let me go ahead and throw to you. I don't know why I started with DJ Tony just there, but my apologies. We will also throw to you to start off the co-main event. We have Khabib, as I mentioned, Khabib the Eagle against Dustin the Diamond. Of course, Khabib is undefeated, Marco, 27-0-0. Dustin Poirier coming back at us in his record, 24-5-0 in one no contest. Tony kind of alluded to it, Marco, that, you know, perhaps Khabib is fighting in front of maybe, you know, he's getting a home game here, even though he's not at home. So what are your thoughts here, Marco? Khabib versus the Diamond.
So Khabib, man.
Khabib.
Like that. Yeah. First of all, the disrespect of not putting me in front of the main event. What's wrong with you? But this okay.
I don't know. Something.
I deal with. I'll just call you later. I want to talk about the pay-per-view in general. For people that don't think Khabib has become a mega superstar, his YouTube replay, of his fight in with Michael Johnson got 60 million views, man. 60 million views.
Do we have some feedback?
No, it's my bad. Something just went off on my iPad and I had to turn it off.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, 60 million views is an amazing number. I hope that this pay-per-view does well because that means a lot of money on Dustin Poirier's pocket. He got a saying. He got 25 minutes to make life fair. If he wins this fight, it's going to be massive. It's going to be all over the world. Everybody's going to know Dustin Poirier's name, you know? I don't see it, brother. I mean, he got a slight chance if, let's say, Khabib has not prepared himself. Khabib gets tired later in the round. But I don't see it. I don't think Dustin is going to get knocked out, even though he has been finished before. But after seeing the wars that he went with freaking Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez, and, you know, even Max Holloway, he went into a war with Max Holloway. He's not the same fighter he was years ago. I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due and respect where respect is due. Poirier is a way, way, way better fighter than he was years ago as a featherweight. And he's an elite lightweight. I mean, he is an interim champion. He won the belt Fair and Square, and on the path to that belt, he beat real names, real guys. Nobody will say that Justin Gaethje is not a member of the old team violence in the UFC, you know? I mean, Gaethje is a tough fight for anybody. He has demonstrated it in the space. Eddie Alvarez is no joke, you know, the underground king. And Max Holloway, for better or for worse, as a featherweight going to lightweight, did a good fight to freaking Poirier, and Poirier got it out and won the fight. It's just the grappling, dude. The way Khabib most people, and nobody, 27 have tried and 27 have failed. That is the freaking saying, that is the truth. Nobody had been able to figure it out, man. Until I see somebody figure it out, I cannot bet against Khabib. I don't think he's going to finish Poirier, but I think he's going to maul him and he's going to outpoint him. It's going to be probably 4-1. I'm not going to think it's going to be a complete wipeout because Khabib usually takes a round off in between just to take get his breath back. So I would give like the middle round, probably the third round to Poirier just because Khabib is going to take a break. And then the 4th and 5th is going to rinse and repeat. And Khabib is going to win a 49-46 unanimous decision and still. And hopefully after that, we'll see him fight Tony Ferguson finally because that is the rightful number one contender. So there you go.
Okay. Just quickly, I wanted to touch on both what you guys both said. You know, you both said that you can't pick against Khabib because, again, Marco, like you said, 27-0 is definitely a thing. You know, 25 have tried, 25 have failed. A couple of things have been concerning for me, guys. DJ Tony, you brought up the fact that Khabib's dad is there in the building. I think that's a bunch of pressure for Khabib, especially in this market. I think that the UFC has tried 2 weeks in a row to tempt the MMA gods on this one, guys, trying to not only, you know, promote Chinese fighters in China, but moving right along to the Arab Emirates and trying to promote a Muslim fighter in, you know, an Arab country that is definitely Muslim. It's a lot of, definitely a lot of pressure on Khabib. And I think that he's the kind of guy that could probably handle it very well. He's been in these situations of high pressure before. However, what I've been seeing on the embedded, to me, I haven't seen the third one yet today that was released. I just got home like 10 minutes before we started the show. So I have not seen that third one. But on Monday, on the embedded, Khabib already looked sucked in. You know what I mean? His face was very, Skeletor-like. And I'm very concerned that, one, DJ Tony, he won't make this fight because of his weight issues that he's had in the past. So, having said all of that, a long story short, I'm going to take Dustin. I'm going to take Poirier. I'm going to take him. I think we saw that American Top Team has the answer for a wrestler. We got to see not the three-piece in the soda in his last fight, but we got to see the one-piece in the soda when Masvidal fought Askren. And maybe guys, that comes to light in this, and Dustin shocks the world very, very early in the first round. But I don't think so. I do believe that it's going to look very reminiscent to when Khabib fought Ala Quinta, and Dustin's going to be able to keep Khabib off of him in the wrestling game, stay away from the cage, and use the boxing game, and kind of, as you said, Marco, get Khabib into a striking match, which we see a lot of times Dustin Poirier in. We really see him being able to suck guys into this, stand-up grudge match. I'm going to take Poirier. I'm going to take him in the third round by TKO, guys. Shocking Z world. Nothing?
Bold. Very bold. That's Poirier wins. I won't be mad, and I will be. He will be choking. We'll talk him into superstardom. Trust me. I won't. I just until somebody proves me otherwise, I cannot pick against Khabib. And this is my personal belief. The only man with the style to beat Khabib is Tony Ferguson. But that is a story for another.
I agree.
Because right now, the guy with the fight in front of him is Dustin Poirier, and if he pulls it off, then it's a completely different discussion then.
Yeah, I think those heavy hands, man, are going to be able to get to Khabib early and kind of stun him. So let's go ahead and move on, guys. Go ahead and cue that music, DJ Tony.
Give me 1 second. I was in a different screen.
That's fine. Just go 3, 2, 1, and you can put it in later. No worries.
No. Hang on.
Say 1 second.
All right. Let's keep it in the lightweight division. As you guys mentioned, this fight probably is on retainer. Edson Barboza at a -150 versus Paul Felder at a +130 coming back at us, guys. As I said, Marco, we're going to start with you again, but let me go ahead and give you the odds.
That's it.
Gave you the odds already. My bad. Let's give you their records. Just give me 1 second to get to the correct page. Edson Barboza Jr. at number 7 in the division. 20 wins, 7 losses, no contest. Marco against the Irish Dragon. Number 10 in the division, Paul Felder. Tough as nails, 16-4-0. And everything else is virtually identical. Marco, what you got?
So I like this fight. I know it's a rematch,
Great fight.
Felder lost his undefeated record to Barboza ages ago, but he was very keen at the time. And the 5 years had gone by, and Paul Felder is a much more evolved fighter, much more evolved. A little bit injury prone, mind you, but that goes with his style of fighting. He's very, very aggressive. Barboza, he's still an outstanding fighter, but he's elite. But I think he's been losing a step, He was always hovering within the number 3 and number 4 spot. Now he's at number 7. He's getting older. And I think Felder has been able to close the gap. I like the underdog on this fight, man. I got a feeling that we're going to get a much more different fight than we got the first time. And the first time, Felder was, full of piss and vinegar because he was undefeated. He saw he was unbeatable. So he took caution to the win and paid for it. Now we got a much more seasoned fighter against Barbosa. I think Felder's going to be able to pull it off. They're going to put up a class. Barbosa is hard to finish, and Felder, you've seen it. You have to freaking throw a semi-truck to this guy to finish him, too. So it's going to be a war of attrition, and I've seen on the war of attrition, Felder is going to win. It's going to be a 29-28 decision, and give me Felder on the points, man. So okay. Felder with the upset on the unanimous decision.
DJ Tony, what are your thoughts here on this fight? I mean, it seems like it could be action-packed. What are your thoughts?
Here's the tough part, you guys. I believe, and I could be wrong here, but I believe if you were to look at the current lightweight top 10, Felder just squeaks into the top 10, right? If you look a
Correct.
Little further, I mean, look at the top 10. Poirier, Ferguson, McGregor, Cerrone, Gaethje, Ally Quinta, Barbosa, Kevin Lee, Pettis, I don't know, being excluded, Gillespie, Oliveira, Alexander the Great Hernandez, right? Dan Hooker, Islam Makhachev. If you look at that's a really, really tough division like it's been for years, right? Now all of a sudden we're moving Paul Felder into that top 10. And everyone likes Paul Felder because he's, you know, likable and he's good on the air. He's just not a top 10 guy. I mean, if you look at he's 35 years young. Mind you, I don't think Barbosa's that much younger or older than he is, but is he really going to be something? I think this is a very dangerous fight for Paul Felder, you guys, because Barbosa has already had his career sort of, right? We know what Barbosa is going to be. As exciting as he is, he's probably never going to be a champ. Paul Felder, who knows, but he's on the wrong side of 30, you guys. So I'm choosing Barbosa, and I think Barbosa is going to do it in a very dangerous way. I think he's going to end it with a kick to the head. I'm picking Barbosa. Lightning, like, out of nowhere, maybe a three-peat. Barbosa, first round, maybe in the first couple minutes, TKO, head kick.
All right. I don't know if I necessarily agree with you that it's going to happen fast. I mean, we know that, you know, Barbosa, especially when we saw him in the Nurmi fight, kind of blew his wad in the first round. The rest is history, you know. I think against Paul Felder, who also wants to keep this on the feet and is kind of a very dangerous guy on the feet. You know, we saw him, you know, fight up a weight class as well and show very well against Face Tattoo. I think he showed very, very well. And he's just a dangerous guy, man. You know, like you said, DJ Tony, he's kind of more popular now because he's on the desk, on the commentary team from time to time, and he is very good at it. I think that, you know, he's got a career definitely in that profession if he wants to moving forward. But like you said, DJ Tony, I think that Barbosa is very dangerous with all 8 points of his particular body. As we saw, you know, he's very capable not only of those head kicks like you just called DJ Tony, but he's also very, very capable of throwing a flying knee as a punch as his opponent is coming at him. Of course, he's just a very, very talented dude. And I don't know if, you know, him, Marco, like you said, moving from number four or number three is indicative of the fact that he's getting older in his career, but that happens to everybody at number seven now, as is Barbosa. But I think, Tony, you're going to be right here. I think that Barbosa is going to be able to get this one done. I think that he comes from a very, very talented team. So does Felder. I think they're going to be as prepared. Both guys are going to be as prepared as they can for each other. But I think Barbosa, as you mentioned, is going to be able to get this one done, DJ Tony. I'm actually going to go with Barbosa a little bit later on. In the last round, I'm going to take him by third round TKO, just to mix it up a little bit from what you said. Barbosa, third round TKO for me.
I pick up on a trend. It got nothing to do with the fights. But of all four hosts in here, I'm the only one that picked decisions.
Yeah. I was totally thinking about this the other day. I was thinking Marco is the guy who picks the decision. I'm usually second round TKO. You know, we kind of all have our safe space when we do picks. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I know. I just pick on that. Like, wait a second. I never heard DJ Tony, Produce, or Pat pick a decision ever. I would pick a knockout or a submission here and there, but I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is, right?
All right. So having said that, we're kind of at the halfway, Marco, our halfway point, Marco, in the show. So let's go ahead and throw to Amp Radio Rewind. That's right. As I mentioned, last weekend we had a fight card, UFC China, of course, also known as UFC Fight Night 157, Marco. And, of course, we had some history take place. But before we get to that, I have to give you guys the results, of last week's show. Marco, unfortunately, all of us chose Easy D. I'm going to call him Easy D from now on because Easy DeSantos, Easy D. Because you know what? That's even easier than Easy E. Anyways, moving right along. All of us picked Easy D, including Pam. So 0 points there for everyone. But Marco, in the main event, as I mentioned, history goes down. Yili Zhang goes ahead and gets this one done. Marco, I mean, we gotta get her name right because she's the champion now. But I mean, if we're the Chinese pronunciation is different from how we would pronounce it in English, so I do apologize. But anyways, having said that, Marco, you and I both picked Zhang. You picked again. By decision, I picked third round TKO, so 2 points for me there, Marco, one for you. Proteus takes down this week again. Marco, so let's go ahead. I can do it for you right now. I'm looking at it. Proteus wins 2-1. All right, so let's throw to it, Marco, because, of course, this was exactly what we kind of called for last week, right? We said, you know, Zhang needs to get something done in her home country. She needs to do something impressive. And that's exactly what she did, Marco. What was it, 41 seconds into the first round? Andrade comes, you know, driving out and being very aggressive, but gets caught. And like you said, Marco, I believe you brought this up. You know, Zhang has some serious power. And she, that was definitely on display. And she mixed up the strikes, which was kind of, you know, impressive to me. You know, throwing knees, throwing elbows, throwing punches. And then, you know, Andrade going down. And then the end of the fight comes, Zhang, you know, ground and pounding. What were your thoughts on this? This definitely is history making, mate. I mean, the strikeweight division in the women's division, that's history making, and of course, the first Chinese champion ever. Marco, I throw to you.
But before I talk Zhang Weili, I gotta give a shout out to the Leech because he make us lose all like a fool. How good the Leech look, man! I was so super impressed with the Leech, Liam. Wow, he looked amazing, man.
And the co-main event, yep.
Exactly. I'm a believer now, so shout out to the Leech. But Zhang Weili, man. This is a start that is really, really, really outstanding. Jessica Andrade got zero significant strikes. Zero. In 42 seconds, she got wiped out. And, I wouldn't say it caught me by surprise, but it didn't really, because I know how good Zhang Weili is, you know? Like, I am believing on the hype, and she's a very accomplished striker. It's going to be interesting, you know? In the future, you know, with the other accomplished strikers on the division, you know, the likes of Rose Namajunas, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Michelle Watterson, and even the other outstanding wrestler, Tatiana Suarez. I mean, she got some tough fights ahead of her. Don't get me wrong. Zhang Weili has a good work cut out for her. But credit what credit is due. She looked super dominant. excellent freaking, you know, fight IQ and doing it in front of your countrymen and countrywomen. What a moment. I mean, I was honestly happy for her. It's going to be massive, man. I mean, for the UFC opening that China market, they just opened the PR in Shanghai and having a Chinese champion. It is massive for the – I mean, one SC step aside. Basically, that is what happened on Saturday. Because whatever momentum one had on China, in one night, the UFC took it all out. It took all the chips and it took all their cookies and ran home with them. It's not the worst to put it, man. The girl right now is trending on all their freaking social media outlets in China on the millions. And I mean the millions. Yeah. They don't got Instagram or freaking Twitter like we get in America. They got their own social networks, and they eclipse what we get in America just by the sheer number of the Chinese people, 1.5 billion people, you know? So it's massive. I mean, it's not the worst to put it. Super happy for the girl. For all intents and purposes, she's super talented too. I mean, nobody's going to be underestimating her anymore. And interesting what is going to happen later on. Good fights ahead of her. I seen the obvious freaking cause would be Tatiana Suarez, but she got her neck all, you know, torn to shreds. So the winner of Jane Jacobs versus Watterson later this year, that would be a good freaking challenger for John Willie. And let's see what she got. Now she's a champion. Nobody can duck her anymore. If they want to fight for the belt, they have to fight her. So let's see what she got. And I'm really, really super interested in her.
Yeah, DJ Tony, I think Marco is right on point there that Wei Li is kind of, you know, this is big for her. I mean, it's definitely big for her in her home country. You know, I thought it was really cool listening to, of course, the AMP radio edition of the post-fight interviews where, you know, Wei Li still tried to get some English out, you know, kind of appeal to any
audience. My name is
Sean
Wei Li. I'm from China. Remember me.
That's right. And then Bisping turns to her and goes, I think everybody is going to remember you after this. And again, what an impressive win, right, DJ Tony? Andrade, of course, this is her first title defense. We brought up last week, DJ Tony, that kind of the holes in Andrade's game were exposed with the Namajunas fight. And again, Marco had said last week, you know, kind of lucky that Andrade was able to get that win against Namajunas, you know, got that slam on the head. And, you know, big win for Wei Li and huge market open for the UFC. Correct, DJ Tony?
You know what? First off, shout out to Marco, because I'm obviously born and raised in San Francisco. I actually grew up with a large Asian community, mainly, honestly, Chinese community where I was at, especially in all the schools I attended. But Marco might be the only one that understands that in China, you go last name first, right? So her real name is Wei Li Zhang, right? But for whatever reason, she was the only one that seemed like in that UFC event that was going by the Chinese tradition, right? Last name first. So everyone was calling her Zhang Wei Li, but that's not, I mean, that her name is Wei Li Zhang, right? But, or Zhang, I don't know how to pronounce her last name correctly. You know what? This is a big deal. What we're going to see, Proteus, is what happens when she moves to the U.S., meaning because she will fight in the U.S., right? And what's going to happen when there's a lot more attached to this, meaning a lot more eyes. And what's going to happen when she faces, you know, like a Rose, right, or Joanna or someone like that. It's going to be interesting. Someone that's a pure striker. I didn't see this thing coming, obviously. But, man, I want to see what happens if she develops her English and develops her personality. Because, like Marco said, so far all we've heard is, my name's Wei Li Zhang, right? I'm from China. Remember me. It'll be interesting because she is talented, so we'll see where it goes. But this is a big deal.
She's Chinese, and she's going to have the whole freaking Chinese government supporting her, so they're going to make her learn English, man. She won't have a choice. And for all intents and purposes, she did an interview with Ariel Helwani on Tuesday, and she said she's studying English right now, so eventually her English will start picking up.
Yeah, and listen, guys, as you mentioned, Marco, not only in the main event, but in the co-main event, we really got to see the toughness of the Chinese fighters. I mean, these guys were on the biggest stage possible in their country. Again, I do hope that Andraj was definitely, paid very well to not be on a regular pay-per-view. Of course, I think, as we've noted many times on this show, the times have changed, and this is kind of what we're going to see from moving forward. I mean, like I said, the card from Abu Dhabi goes at the main event starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, Eastern time zone. So I think we're just going to have to get used to this, man, and we're going to have to catch up when we catch up. And I don't know. I just hope that the fighters in this particular setup get paid what they deserve. Now,
One quick point on the China card, and I'm glad that you brought it up. Of all the Chinese fighters that fought, they're not only one loss. And
right.
That effect, because when they went to Dublin, most of the Irish fighters went to...
Damn, that's true.
The first time they went to Brazil, it was like Brazil running
right.
through everybody. So it's like that effect. Like the first time they go to a market and they go with a strong car, they got that rollover effect. I mean, the matchups, I wouldn't say they were favorable for the Chinese fighters because nobody was expecting the Leash to win. And some of the other fighters were heavy underdogs, and they all pulled through. So, you know, good for them. It's good for the market to see their own winning. You know, it is a bummer when you go to a market and all their fighters lose. Enter Sweden, you know, when they went to Sweden. And
yeah.
Everybody on their market, They haven't had the same luck that the Irish, the Brazilians, and the Chinese have. Just saying.
Yeah, and again, Marco, I think we said this on last week's show that, you know, especially me, I voiced this. I thought that this was exactly what the UFC wanted to have happen, and it did happen. And I just think that, you know, tempting the MMA gods 2 weeks in a row might be a little bit too much. But again, like you said, Li Jinglang, excellent performance. Gia Tony as well, against Easy D. I mean, kind of won it from tail to tape and from tape, whatever. And both Chinese fighters, in my opinion, who were in the main and the co-main event, really, really coming out of this looking really well. And, the popularity in this market, Marco, as well, it probably increased, 10 to 100 fold. Great event for the UFC, great result for the UFC, and great for Zhang to have gotten the championship. Very impressive, first Chinese champion of all time. So yeah, impressive her.
Quick quiz: how many countries in total have got a UFC championship?
Oh, I know. I heard the answer to this one. I can't remember it though. Go ahead, Marco. Give it to us.
11.
Right.
11 countries.
Yeah.
Wow.
China being the last one.
Yep. Yeah, very impressive. I mean, it not only does it take a lot to be a champion, but to be the first one ever from your country, you're reaching for the top on that one. But let's go ahead and change gears here, guys, as we are swiftly running out of time. We have one more fight to cover, of course, but I did mention DJ Tony. We were going to cover Bellator 226. Of course, this is the first night of the featherweight tournament. This is the first round. Like I mentioned at the top, we've got four featherweight tournament fights on this particular fight card. I just wanted to mention that again because we are not, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, going to cover that. Of course, this particular fight card, UFC or Bellator 226, goes down, of course, also Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from the SAP Center in San Jose, California. Tony, you've got some big news to break here, so why don't we go ahead and throw to you right here for the heavyweight world title. Ryan Bader, of course, is the champion, not only in this division, in the heavyweight division, but in the light heavyweight division, going up against the most exciting fighter in Bellator, in Czech Congo. Wah, wah, wah. No. Ryan Bader, 27-5-0 against Czech Congo, 30-10-2. Let me give you the odds real quickly, DJ Tony, because it is the only one that we have odds on. That's why we're covering it. Ryan Bader, of course, at a minus 360 against Czech Congo, coming back at us at plus 270. Of course, all of these odds coming at you from Five Dimes. DJ Tony, what you got?
Here's the thing, you guys. By the way, shout out to Bellator. I don't think anyone gives Bellator as much coverage as we do, and I'm not joking. Like, literally, we put out more stuff than anyone else. I know Proteus hasn't had a chance to watch UFC Embedded episode number 3, which we put out hours ago, by the way, on audio, and that's why we always put out the audio. For those that don't have a chance to watch it on YouTube, we always put it out on audio. No one else is doing that. Shout out to us on that. Well, shout out to us on the MMA Minute, which I'm bringing back because we have a lot of people that are trying to take that space. Shout out to us, by the way, for, gosh, I think Luke Thomas is now using one of our names, The Final Say, I think he's trying to use, which we always say The Final Say. We do it every day in prime time. So shout out to us on that. But listen, no one's going to go to Czech Congo's background and say, boy, what an exciting fighter. It hasn't happened in 44 years, except for Scott Coker saying it. I don't think anyone else will. He is on a fake. It's true, right? He is on an 8-fight win streak with 2 of the last 3, by the way, ended in KOs in the first round. He KO'd Javi Ayala and Timothy Johnson. I know you guys are going to say whatever you want to say, but he did beat Minnikoff as well, which I didn't think that would happen. I think Marco said this months and months ago when he said the best heavyweight in Bellator was Ryan Bader, and we were like, huh? He's a light heavyweight. Guess what? The best heavyweight in Bellator is Ryan Bader. So I'm going Ryan Bader. I think I don't think it's – and by the way, Marco, I actually call a lot of decisions, and typically when I do, I say they're going to be a very boring fight, not what we expected, i.e. my stupid ass picking – who did I pick? Yoel Romero versus – I said that would not be an exciting fight. Boy, was I wrong. Shout out to Borghina. I said that was going to be a boring fight. Clearly that didn't happen. But you know what, guys? I'm picking Ryan Bader. He's going to dominate this fight. It's going to be kind of boring. He will beat Czech Congo. So Bader, decision over Congo.
Wow. All right, Marco. DJ Tony getting in on your – oh, wait, Tony. You didn't mention the important news.
Oh, my bad. I was shouting out Bellator. I forgot. Finally, we got credentialed again, and we will be there. So we will be media day. I probably will miss the weigh-ins. I'll be back Saturday night, so I may not watch all of the UFC live. But, yes, we will be covering Bellator 226 live. I will be wearing the AMP Radio stuff. Come on out, give me a shout-out like you guys did last time. We appreciate each and every one of you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And DJ Tony, I think maybe this might be a good weekend to break out the This Week in MMA show.
Absolutely.
To just take it full advantage of, the credentials and you being there. So, again, follow Tony at I'm DJ Tony for any kind of tweets that he might be putting out. Tony, will you be putting out tweets on the Twitterverse, or will you just be putting out content on the podcast pages? What is your plan?
Both. And Marco came up with a good idea. Probably on media day, we'll probably record those and put out that content as well. So if you hear my raspy ass voice, you'll know why. But yes, we will be tweeting under another MMA cast.
Wonderful. So follow another MMA cast, not DJ Tony's particular personal account. Of course, this one's going down on DAZN. Marco, I'm going to throw to you because both of these guys are, former UFC fighters. Ryan Bader, of course, we always said that he could do something big if the UFC wanted to use him. And of course, turns out they did not. Now he's a two-weight title champion going up against Chuck Congo, who, like DJ Tony said, on a very impressive win streak right now. And of course, that's been his MO. He's definitely looked for the big knockout. But the wrestling game of Ryan Bader is strong. What you got?
So once upon a time, Chuck Congo was a freaking a straight kickboxer that will knock you out, enter the Pat Barry fight that was epic. And,
right.
Then he ran into a guy named Cain Velasquez, and he said, screw all this striking, let's start wrestling, because I don't want to get more like that again.
Yeah.
So, ever since then, he has been more wrestling-centric. Most of his fights, so even though he's on another fight, good streak, have been super boring. I mean, we're going to be honest. The last two knockouts here to Javier Yala is a respectable name. Timothy Johnson, not so much, man. We are what we are, you know my feelings about this fight. I think Minikov should be the one fighting Ryan Bader today, but Chicago beat Minikov too in a very boring
fight, right.
But he did it. So we are what we are. But he won't be able to out-wrestle Ryan Bader. Ryan Bader is a younger, faster, more athletic, natural athletic fighter. And he's going to wrestle fuck the shit out of Chuck Congo because he's not going to want to take any chances with Congo clipping him. And he's going to maul him on the ground for 5 rounds straight. Whatever we think about Congo, I mean, he's a specimen, but he's also 44, and that gas tank is going to get depleted real quick with a wrestler the level of Ryan Bader. It's a shame that Ryan Bader, you know, is not on the UFC. I truly believe if he was in the UFC, if he wasn't fighting for a title, he would be a perennial contender. And if John Jones would move to heavyweight, he would be the UFC like heavyweight champion because John Jones would be a heavyweight. But, you know, we're on this scenario now. He is the best fighter by far that the freaking Bellator has. Bellator is going to Bellator. He's defending his heavyweight champion this weekend. We don't know when he's going to defend his light heavyweight title if he's ever going to do it. Because I don't think he likes to do the cut anymore. He's very comfortable, you know, eating all the cookies and beating on freaking overblown heavyweights. But, you know, good for Ryan Bader. Like I say, it's going to be a mullet. Congo is a tough guy to freaking knock down. You know, he hasn't been finished too many times in his career. So he's durable. So I think Bader is just going to wrestle fucking for 5 rounds and do something very similar. You know what Stipe Miocic did to Marhan? Ryan Bader is going to do to freaking Chuck Congo. So give me a straight 50-45 super modern of Ryan Bader over Chuck Congo.
Okay, wonderful. I think that the main reason that this is happening, Marco, is, of course, Coker likes to tie together his tournaments. Bader, of course, the last winner of the previous tournament they had, the heavyweight division tournament. Of course, as I mentioned, featherweight tournament starting. This is a good way to document or to kind of get the people excited. Of course, the last Bellator fight that we covered, I did mention that, you know, the Bellator is trying to push the heavyweight division. This is definitely it. Chuck Congo is a name that casual fans will probably be able to catch on to. Of course, Ryan Bader, another name. So good job, I think, by Coker putting this run on the top of the featherweight Grand Prix, the start of the featherweight Grand Prix. I think you guys are all correct here. I think Bader runs over Chuck Congo. I think he's going to be able to take check down at will. I don't even believe that it's going to be a Stipe Miocic versus a Francis Ngannou situation where Ngannou was able to get off in the first and a little bit in the second round. I think that we've seen enough tape on Chuck Congo, and as you mentioned, Marco, he's 44 years old. I don't believe Chuck is changing much. I think Ryan Bader is going to be able to get to this fight to the ground as often as he would like. And I do believe this is going to end in the third round, guys, by Ryan Bader, TKO. All right, guys. That was a fun show, right? I think that was fun. We got a lot covered. I feel tired now.
Sure. We got some time?
Yeah, we got time. We got 6 minutes.
Cyborgs and Bellator. We have to talk about it.
Okay, so let's go ahead and broach that subject as well, because, of course, we're on the Bellator train right now. And, of course, it's not a surprise to me, Marco, at all. I think I did say this when we broke this news on the show that Chris Cyborg had been released from the UFC. And I do believe, DJ Tony, you jumped on that train as well and said that, you know, Coker has worked with Cyborg in the past. And I would not sneeze at seeing her in Rizin and just, you know, letting her getting on the non-Onnit supplements again. And we can see the full force of Cyborg. So, Marco, what are your thoughts on this particular subject? Cyborg to Bellator.
Okay. I'm gonna try to be positive, you know. Cyborg and Coca got a history.
Well, you're not gonna tell us that she looks like Vitor. You're not gonna tell us that she looks like somebody other Brazilian fighter in a dress, right? I mean, so you got to be positive.
Coca and Cyborg got a history. You know, she used to fight for him in the Strikeforce, and you know, they got a good relationship. So good for Cyborg. Now. Coker telling me that she got the largest female contract ever. I got Ronda Rousey on the Amanda Nunes fight just for show, and I got $3 million. Not even counting the pay-per-view points. So, come on, Coker. Don't give me that. This one is not coughing at the money. Viacom is not coughing at the money. Just say that you're paying her well, and I believe that. But don't give me the bullshit that she got the largest contract on women ever make history, because I don't believe that shit. But happy for Cyborg, man. She got some good fights up there. The only... this is going to be the narrative for her until the end of history, is that we are not going to get that Amanda Nunes rematch, and because of that freaking shadow always going to loom huge over Cyborg, you know, because Amanda Nunes not only just beat her, but she obliterated her, you know. Never mind the fact that Amanda Nunes is not even a natural 145, but she's a 135er. So no shame on losing to the best freaking female fighter ever, Amanda Nunes, but she's in Bellator now. She got the Julia Bott fight there. Jordina Barnes is on the freaking Bellator roster, so she might get that rematch and avenge those loss, you know, even though it was on Muay Thai. And, you know, there's some interesting fights because, let's be honest, the roster on Bellator for female featherweights is at least exists. They got names in there. That one thing that the UFC does not have. Hopefully they invest in it because they want Amanda to defend both belts, but that's another story. Good for Cyborg. Be happy, make money, but you cannot claim to be the best female fighter ever anymore because Amanda Nunes took all that from you. That's just my opinion.
DJ Tony?
Here's the thing, you guys. I mean, you could say that exactly what Marco said. You could say that to every fighter that has fought Amanda Nunes, including, of course, Honda Halsey, right? I mean, you could say that about everything. You could even say that about Nunes fighting, hopefully, future Bellator Kat Zingano as well, right? So I don't think anyone is taking a promoter's word. And listen, I'm a Scott Coker fan. I don't think anyone is saying whatever Scott Coker says or whatever Dana White says, it's gold, right? I don't think anyone says that. They're promoters. They're going to promote whomever they have on their roster. I will say this. You cannot say that Cyborg has not had a systematic, if not a great run in everywhere she's been, including the UFC. And listen, like Marco said, they didn't have a lot of 145ers anyway, so she got beat by a very large 135er, right? But, I mean, everyone's going to take a loss. Everyone, maybe except for John Jones, is going to take a loss. There's no doubt about it. Everyone loses. But, listen, this is a big signing for Bellator. It sucks for Julia Budd because I don't know if she's going to – if she fights Cyborg, I don't know how that – well, that's going to go for her. Let's see what happens with Kat Zingano.
I'm going to have a surprise for you when that fight comes about.
Yeah, right. I mean, no one ever knows. Maybe Julia Budd becomes the greatest. Who the heck knows? But I will say this, though, you guys. There's something about being happy. And these fighters that have fought for Scott Coker before at Strikeforce or wherever they fought, they're usually happy to work again with Scott Coker. They're doing something right, guys. Are they doing everything right? No, because UFC still has the greatest roster in MMA. But they're doing some stuff right, and the fighters are happy. And at the end, I think what we want is for the fighters to be happy.
Oh, 100%. I think that if you look at Ryan Bader's contract, of course, he's on the main event here. He seems very happy with what he's being able to take down. I think, you know, we've talked about fighter rights on this show, and I'm not going to get into it right now. I do apologize. But like I said at the top, I'm not surprised by this at all. Cyborg has really only ever had her division. You know, I don't think there's ever been a woman who has, besides Amanda Nunes, that has been up to fighting Cyborg. I think Cyborg has always had her own division. I think that Cyborg has always been used to just running through girls because she's the biggest and the strongest. And great, I'm happy to see her in Bellator. I knew this was going to happen, either Bellator or, as I said earlier on, Ryzen was definitely in her cards for the future. And I wouldn't put it past Coker to put Cyborg on a Ryzen card in the future. I just think that's definitely going to happen. And Cyborg is going to Cyborg. She's going to be with Bellator and make some money, like you guys said. And I just think that's kind of what we've always seen from Cyborg's career. Like Marco, like you just said, I just think that this is just par for the course. I mean, Cyborg is going to be, for lack of the better word, the sideshow. You know, she's always going to be that freak of nature because she is, you know, hardworking. She's definitely very talented and a great fighter, but there's just never been somebody the size that she is that could contend with her again, except for Nunes, and that was quite recently. So I welcome this portion of Cyborg's career, and I think it's great for her. Let's go ahead and get out of here again this week. We've managed to run over time, Marco. If you've got a Twitter follow or anything that you want to promote, I want to look forward so whatever is coming up next week. I don't have anything in front of me right now, so I'm sure there's a UFC event, so we'll roll right into that next week. Marco, go ahead and get us out of here for this week with whatever you've got.
Okay, so my guilty pleasure this week has been America Got Talent because of Cody Lee, autistic blind kid that is so super talented. If you don't cry watching his performances, you got no soul. But follow Tony, I am DJ Tony. Follow Panama Pandora Box. We're thinking about you, Pam. Follow Producer of Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Write on reviews. Write on freaking iTunes, Google Play, Black Talk Radio. Fight this weekend, man. This Invicta on Friday. And then we got the UFC early in the morning and in the afternoon. And Bellator at night. So if you're an MMA fan, you can't go wrong. And then we got another 10 more weeks of fights on a roll. So we're going to be busy, guys. We're going to leave you guys catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
And thank you, Marco. And, of course, follow at Another MMA Cast for all of your Bellator coverage this weekend. Just like that, DJ Tony.
We're going to Bellator. That's right, brother. That's right, brother.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.